Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game on this beautiful Saturday morning. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is about great service. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. The United States has clinched a spot in the gold medal game against against Canada. And we'll talk a lot about that. Some college basketball today. Major, major day in the world of college basketball. We'll get into some of that. But Dr. Crane, how are we doing this morning?
Good morning, Connor. Doing pretty good for the most part.
That's good.
It's Saturday. Clean the desk. It smells nice.
I know.
In here.
I was riding in on two wheels today. I got here at approximately 4 minutes ago. So
okay.
I came in here, and this place is all nice, and it looks like some housekeeping was in order. I am not going to ask who left their food behind because I think I already know the answer, and I think he comes on in the afternoons.
There was no food to be had in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
yesterday it was you and Derek, so I mean.
Well, I don't eat in here, so.
No, there was no food in here, man. It was just a lot of coffee circles from the mugs and just a bunch of nasty stuff.
It's none of it is me. I don't drink coffee. I don't eat in here.
Yeah.
It's not me.
Well, I'm not blaming nobody. I'm just cleaning up. It hadn't been cleaned for a while.
Yeah, that's true. Marvin, gotta get in here and clean.
Yeah, no. Where's Marvin been, man? We need a little vacuum action up in here as well.
Well, Marvin has he's got some conversations he needs to have during his cleaning time. I can't repeat any of them because there are plenty of choice words that are thrown in there. But Marvin, the janitor, has a lot on his mind. Christian, how are we doing?
We're doing good. I do think he ran whatever the equivalent of the Swiffer he has the other night. I do think he ran that in the hallway the other night.
That's good.
I did see that, so that's good.
Could you hear him over it?
I think he'd actually ended his conversation by then. So
that's good.
Yes, I could. I could hear him.
I want to know
it,
who he's talking to.
I know. Like I would love to know.
I feel like it's the same person every single time.
I would love to know what they're talking about too.
I don't think I want to know that.
Well, I guess that's
they're probably on the same work shift as well. So they're probably just chatting.
Maybe
it up.
So. Maybe they're just discussing their shifts.
Maybe he's in a club for like single men.
Maybe it's a possibility.
Maybe I should join that club. That'd be great.
Side note, though, real quick, I don't know, we don't really talk about golf a lot, but Scottie Scheffler struggling in the first rounds of golf is just beyond me.
That's what he does, though, right? Like, he goes in, doesn't care, and then somehow comes out on top.
Yeah, but
I'd like to know what his Wednesdays have been looking like. Like, what does he do on Wednesday that causes him to play so bad on Thursday? Because this is 3 weeks in a row now.
Well, he mentioned something at a press conference saying, like, I play with a buddy of mine that's like a 10 handicap, and I give him, like, X amount of strokes, and he still ends up beating me. I'm like, yikes.
I mean, that can't be on Wednesday when he's doing that, though, right?
You never know. I don't know.
I wouldn't think.
Yeah. So.
Sorry.
That's okay.
My immature 13-year-old brain just kicked in.
Yeah. Oh. I was like, what is he laughing at? That makes sense now.
Yeah. But I just want to get that out there. It's just kind of crazy.
Yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dustin in Hopkinsville says, sounds like some locker room types being taken over. It is true.
That's very true.
I mean, we've got pretty much every locker room type here that works here. None of us really know Marvin that well. We just kind of know his name, and you know him. Like, you and Marvin talk sometimes.
Yeah.
Marvin thinks I'm Max. He thinks everyone's Max.
Everyone's Max, man. Like, when I was working overnights, he said, what's up, Max? I'm like, hey, how are you? And then I just went along with it. So.
You know what? Just ride it.
Just ride it, man.
Just go with it. I don't want to start things off really sad today, but I didn't touch on this yesterday because I didn't feel it was appropriate. But now that we're here together, and this is someone that we've had on the show a few times, I believe, I just wanted to send my thoughts and prayers on behalf of all of us. Our condolences to Wes Rucker and his family. Many of you know the tragic, tragic accident that took place in Knoxville a couple days ago. He was killed in a highway accident. He leaves behind a family, a wife, a young son, I believe he's 4, and a baby on the way in May. So I didn't know Wes personally. I've had conversations with him on the air. You have too. I think we've had him on this show before.
Maybe. I can't recall.
Once or twice. But I admire his work. I admire, from an outsider perspective, his draw and the way he put himself and held himself to a high, high standard. Just some of the things I've heard about him and him talking on the air, he was a man of good family, of good faith. He was dedicated to his work, and I understand he was sort of controversial in his work, but isn't everyone these days? really, I just wanted to send my thoughts and my prayers and all the love and support that I can to Wes Rucker and his family. They don't know me. I don't know them. But at the end of the day, we're all in this together. He's a human being. And he leaves behind a family. So it is tragic. If anyone, I say this a lot, but I think it's a good reminder. If anyone is ever going through something or needs talking to, we are always open. Our phone lines are always open. Not to steal anything from Big Joe, but if you are really struggling, dial 988 on your cell phone. It is, your life is as valuable as everyone else's life. And human life is the utmost importance in this world. So, yeah, there we go. That's my spiel today.
I mean, you're spot on, Connor. Well said there. I mean, I didn't know him personally either, but I've come across of texting him to schedule for being a guest on one of the shows in the midday or in the morning or whatever it may be. But overall, I have nothing but kind words to say about a guy like Wes Rucker. There was a time I called him on the phone because I wasn't able to text him, and I was just trying to schedule something for a show, and he goes, man, I would love to, but got a sick kid at home. I was like, I totally understand. He goes, I understand the business. And I was just like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like, he was a super
he
nice.
He was well in tune with the business.
Yeah, so again, just condolences to him and his family, and just power of prayer in this time of grief.
I'm not a Vols fan. You're not a Vols fan. But it did make me happy to see them win last night. And the way they won was spectacular.
Absolutely.
I guess they were honoring him at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. His picture was up. And fitting that Tennessee walks it off in the ninth. So congratulations to the Vols. It is pretty cool to see pretty much the entire SEC, except for that one guy, unite around this family and their struggles. It's beautiful to see. So there is good in this world. I know it. I've seen it. Just keep spreading the good.
Yeah, I think already $500,000 have been raised. I think the number I saw in a little over 24 hours. So, yeah, it's just remarkable. And that's not just Tennessee fans. That's people from all over.
Yeah, I mean,
more so SEC country, but all over the country.
Really. He would hate if I singled him out. He doesn't know me, and I don't know him, but I'm a fan of his. Matt Jones donating $2,000 to that fund. Very, very generous.
SVP with $5,000. A lot of big guys being really nice. Yep.
It's really beautiful to see. But again, I didn't want to kill the mood on this Saturday because we're going to have a lot of fun today. We got a lot to talk about. But I did think it was important to start that off. I didn't bring it up yesterday when I was on with D-Mace because I don't know how much of a relationship him and D-Mace had and if he was even aware of the situation. But I felt today, since we're all together and we semi-knew him on some level, it would be appropriate to bring up today.
So. Yeah, I'm more new of him, but yes, you know, came across in a roundabout way. But again, when people pass away, it is a sad, tragic thing. But in another way, you look at it as just honoring them in the most positive way possible, and that's kind of how I look at it. And sports talk radio is one of those things to, you know, look at someone that way.
We have another passing away today. Baseball legend, Bill Mazeroski.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Passed away this morning, I guess. He led the Pirates to a World Series victory in 1960.
That is...
Game 7 hero, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yep.
Man. Wow.
I mean, he was, what, 89 years old?
Yeah, it was natural causes.
I mean, God bless him, man.
But God bless that family. Anyways, let's get back to the fun stuff. We got a lot to talk about today. As I mentioned, Team USA in the gold medal match, baby, taking on Canada. Wake up early. Go to bed early tonight. They're playing at 7:10 a.m. I know you'll be up. I'll probably have to push myself to get up, but I'll be up. We'll have Newt's Notes at 9:45. Our weekend poll question isn't up yet just because I was rolling in here, but I'm about to post it. It will be, which Olympic sport is better? This is a debate that's been going around the interwebs, and I've heard both sides. In the summer, is it basketball? Or in the winter, is it hockey? Which of the two do you prefer? And then, of course, we'll wrap things up with where are they now at the end of the program. But coming up next, as I mentioned, the matchup is set. In the words of Rocky IV, two worlds collide, rival nations. USA, Canada, in the gold medal match in the Milan Olympics on the final day of the Olympics. Closing ceremony is tomorrow, I believe, right?
Yes, it is the last event of the Winter Olympics, the gold medal match for the men's
hockey. So if you're wondering why it's this early in the morning, there you go. It's technically an afternoon game for them.
It's prime time, 2:10 in the afternoon for them.
But it is going to be early. So we'll break it down What gives USA the best chance to win? Who needs to be the X factor for Team USA? We'll talk about that coming up next right here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you on 102.5 The Game. Oh, Survivor, I think you put this one perfectly, even though technically it's not East versus West, it's North versus South. And with the South, we stand. Welcome back in. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you. Today, Vanderbilt men's basketball hosts Tennessee at Memorial Gym with 1 p.m. tip-off, and the pregame show starts at 12:30 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Coverage presented by GaryForceAcura.com. Big one today. We'll talk about that later on in the program, but you heard the music. You've heard me teasing it all morning, and by all morning, I mean about 15 minutes. The matchup is set. What we've all wanted this whole Olympics, USA versus Canada in a semi-rematch of the Four Nations tournament last year. I guess this could be number three because the U.S. beat them the first time, Canada won the championship, and now it's back to the ice a year later. Canada and the USA, probably the two best teams in the Olympics. I don't think there's actually a probably. I think it's a definitely. They're in the championship, and this is what we wanted the entire time. So let's talk about it. What does USA need to do to take down Canada? It seems like sort of a David versus Goliath matchup. Canada, this is their sport. They probably have the best roster in the entire Olympics. But the USA has a lot of momentum riding into this one. They took down Slovakia 6-2 yesterday, and it was never in doubt, it seemed like. Jack Hughes with two goals. I think all the Jacks scored in the same period, Hughes and Eichel, so that was fun. But riding momentum, I think, is a key factor into this one. What do you think is going to give USA the best chance to beat Canada tomorrow?
You look at Canada and the way that they offensively attacked Finland yesterday when they were down two goals, and they just continued to pepper UC Saros on the net. As for the U.S., they have that respect factor when it comes to playing Canada. One, because you can't do that. The level of talent is completely different from Finland to the U.S. in a roundabout way when it comes to offensive attack. So for the U.S., I think you just hit them right in the mouth. You got to slow down their pace of play. And if you can slow down Canada's pace of play and make it your game, and also if you can score first, that would help out a lot.
Yeah.
But minus that, like, you just have to slow their pace of the game down, make it more physical than speed, because speed is their game.
The key to this one, score more goals than the other team. I'm just kidding.
Thank you, Carl Ravitch.
Thank you for continuing my hatred of Carl Ravitch. Hopefully he never comes on this program and hears this. But you're right. I think playing at your own pace, because Canada's the kind of team to speed things up. They score, and they score fast. There's a key player that I think may or may not be unavailable for Canada, and that's Sidney Crosby, fighting a knee injury. I believe it's a sprained MCL or something like that. That's the speculation. He could very well play. And let's be honest, Sidney Crosby today isn't the Sidney Crosby that beat you in the Olympics years and years and years ago. He's regressed. He's older. He's not as good as he used to be, but he's still a prolific player in this Olympics and in the NHL. I think it's about spreading down their big guy, calming down their big guys. McDavid, Crosby, Macklin Celebrini, who leads this tournament in goals. It's about harping down on the defense and anchoring down. I think Connor Hellebuyck is going to have a hell of a time tomorrow. He's going to be stopping a lot of shots on goal, I feel like. So I think you're right, and you need to slow down the speed of play if you're the United States. And the United States, they play at a fast pace, too. They played at a really fast pace yesterday, scoring six goals in 60 minutes, I guess you could say. So I think it's just about controlling momentum. The United States, in my opinion, has more momentum rolling into this one than Canada does, coming off a 6-2 victory where Canada went to overtime and beat Finland 3-2. So I think, not that that's the story of the two teams. Every hockey game is different, but I think momentum weighs in the direction of USA.
Yeah, and a player we haven't really spoke about at all this segment and also this entire tournament is a guy in Austin Matthews. We had the concern going into the tournament saying he might be the Philip Rivers of hockey, can't win the big one, has that Toronto curse under his belt. Now, I think now he's getting to the point of, I understand I'm a team player. And also, too, he's facilitating the puck well. Like, nobody's had anything bad to say about Austin Matthews. He's flown under the radar this tournament. This could be a game tomorrow where he says, hey, maybe I take the reins of the responsibilities around the net and I score a few goals here and there. So that's just something to look at as well. I mean, again, being the captain of the American team, like, that's something you got to put a factor into.
Yeah, I think there's going to be an unsung hero that has to emerge in this one. For me, I'm looking at Tage Thompson. Tage Thompson, I think, is a prolific goal scorer. And granted, he's on the third line of this team. The third line and the first line on this team are not much different from each other just because of the talent level and the depth volume that this team has. Tage Thompson, I think, is capable of getting to the goal at any time and going top shelf. He's proven that this tournament. He proved that yesterday with a goal, I believe. So I love watching him play. I think he is the perfect winger to complement a center. Do I think the Preds should go after him? Absolutely not. But I don't think Buffalo would give him up that easily. But I think he's an X factor. I've been riding on Jake Guentzel this entire tournament because I think he is a level of goal scorer that they need. He hasn't delivered as much as I would have liked this tournament, but he's still a breakout candidate. And Austin Matthews, I agree with you, I think is the key to this one. The captain needs to be the captain in this one. And maybe he says, all right, let's step it up, feed me the puck, I'll drive it in.
And, you know, everybody wants to compare Austin Matthews to Connor McDavid because McDavid is Team Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Matthews, in a roundabout way, is kind of the comparable to a guy like Connor McDavid. People always want to compare that. They're two different guys. They're two different players. That you just can't compare them to that magnitude. And I get it. They're the faces of their countries. But as of right now, just be that role player for Team USA.
I mean, they're the faces of their countries. They play the same position. They're both top-line centers. I think that's where the comparisons stop. They're both different players. I see Matthews as a great goal scorer, but for this team, he's been more of a facilitator. Connor McDavid, I think, is the driving force of Canada. And Macklin Celebrini leads the tournament in goals, but still, I think it is truly something that, you know, they're different.
Players. Well, yeah, McDavid, he'll take the puck and dangle through the entire middle of the defense.
Yeah, because he can do that.
Austin Matthews, structured a little differently. Can't really get that speed, top-end speed.
McDavid's
near
a little
the net.
Bigger, too, I think. Like, he's just built bigger.
Yeah.
But McDavid is capable of carrying a team on his own. I don't know if Austin Matthews is capable of doing that. But in this tournament, with these two teams, I don't think anyone has to carry anyone. I think it's just about who plays better team hockey. And we've seen USA play team hockey. I will go back to their very first game against Slovakia. Who did they play in their first? Was it? Oh, Czechia. Was it Czechia?
Talking about US's first game?
Yeah.
It was Latvia. There's Latvia, Denmark. Similar colors with the flag. I get those.
I knew it ended with an A, right?
Yeah, it was one.
They're
of them.
All the same. There's only one country that matters. But I go back to that game against Latvia. That third goal, I believe it was Brock Nelson's goal. Mm-hmm. Second goal. All five skaters on the ice for the U.S. touched the puck, and then Nelson just hammered it home. That's the level of play you need to see against Canada. You need to see guys sharing the puck and spreading the wealth and creating opportunities for other guys to get that puck inside the net. No one can be above the other. And unless we just see a Jack Hughes takeover like we saw yesterday in the second period, I don't think you're going to see that. I think it's going to be about spreading the wealth, seeing who can get open on different shifts of the power, or not the power play, but just the game in general. Converting on the power play is what I was trying to say. And the U.S. has been great this tournament at drawing penalties. I don't know what they are doing, but they just keep drawing penalties and capitalizing on the power play. So make Canada make a mistake. Make Canada mess up.
Another factor to Canada's game is they give up shorthanded goals.
Yes, they do.
And we saw it yesterday with Finland. You think, oh my goodness, this could be an exploited weakness that the U.S. could take advantage of. And they just might because, like I mentioned, if you combine the physicality along with a shorthanded goal, that is boding well for Team USA.
It's like I equate this to what I equated it to the Super Bowl. Make that quarterback make a mistake. Make Canada's big boys make a mistake. And I realize they're all big boys for the most part. They're all high-level NHL players, but so is everyone on the U.S. So make them draw a penalty. Make them make a mistake. Let them, you know, go on the power or put you on the power play. and you mentioned it, they give up shorthanded goals. This isn't an unbeatable team. This is a team that has weaknesses, just like every team in every single sport ever. Every team has a weakness. I don't think Canada is unbeatable. I would probably pick them to win this game. I don't want them to because I'm a true patriot, but I don't think Canada is as unbeatable as the media and the Olympics and everyone in their country makes them out to be.
And let's look at the goaltending real quick. You look at, compare him, Connor Hellebuyck to Bennington and Nett, like those two.
Bennington is the most inconsistent goalie I've ever seen.
Thank you. That was the next thing I was going to bring up is that they're good, and especially Hellebuck's, he's great compared to Swayman and everybody else. Like, he's great. But Bennington, he just lets in those little squeakers in net, which just, again, if you're Team Canada, you're like, we have the offensive firepower to back that up, but we shouldn't. We shouldn't have to.
Right.
And again, that's, I think, another plus for Team USA going into this gold medal match.
If you're the U.S., you're hoping that the regular season Jordan Bennington shows up. The Jordan Bennington that's capable of giving up 5 goals in 2 periods. That's what you want. And you could very, very highly get that. You could also get 2019 Stanley Cup final champion Jordan Bennington, who was a complete brick wall and didn't let any pucks through the net. So I think goaltending is a true matchup to watch. Hellebuyck, I think you know what you're getting. You're getting maybe 1 to 2 goals on him, but the rest, he's going to just knock it down, flash the leather. He's flashy. He's fun to watch. It's Bennington that you have to look out for.
There's no way they make a goaltender change for this. You think?
No.
Darcy Kuemper? No.
For Canada?
Yeah.
No. I think they plug in Bennington.
Okay.
Because he's familiar with U.S. He was the goalie for 4 Nations last year, and he played well against them. So
that's fair.
I think he's familiar. The U.S. absolutely cannot make a goaltender change.
No.
We saw what Jeremy Swayman can do. He let up a goal that I think all 3 of us could have stopped if we were in net. So, and I'm surprised we haven't seen Jake Oettinger at all this Olympics. But
going to collect some form of a medal.
At least they gave Swayman a chance to play in the Olympics. But real quick, on the Tage Thompson front, have we seen anything on his health? Because I know they took him out yesterday, and I assume it was just for precaution since they were up 5-0, but I haven't seen anything to say otherwise.
It looked precautionary, I would say. I mean, you're up 5-0 in the semifinals. You want to rest as much as you possibly can because you play the best team in this tournament tomorrow.
So. Olchek was making a pretty big deal of it, and I was kind of sitting there like, I mean, we are up 5-0. I would hope this is just out of precaution.
Oh, wow.
He was like, oh, this really changes things for the Americans. I was like, I don't think – I think he'd be out there if this was a 1-goal game.
Well, if you think about it, once he went out, they gave up 2 goals. So this really changes things. They won 6-2. They were up 5-0. I would imagine it's precautionary.
As of this morning, according to Elliot Friedman, Tage Thompson is on the ice for Team USA's skate.
Yeah.
So, love to see it. Thank you, Elliot.
He will be out there. He will be out there tomorrow. I am starting to believe that Sidney Crosby being held out yesterday was precautionary as well. I think they want him ready to go in probably his last Olympics ever against Team USA.
Yeah, that's what I was telling you yesterday. I was like, there's no way this guy doesn't.
No, I was just about to say he would – his leg would be able to fall off his body for him to not be playing this game. There's no chance Sidney Crosby is not playing this game.
Yeah,
and you know how effective he's going to be is a whole different story, but there's no chance he's not playing.
Right, because again, he is the vet of this group. All he needs is a supporting cast around him to be a productive player. That's it. That's all you really need if you're a guy like Sidney Crosby.
I agree.
Because you have a guy like Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, and so forth.
Celebrini.
Their power play unit with Crosby on it was incredible in the first game of the Olympics. I'm like, holy cow.
You want to talk about a facilitator on that team? It's Sidney Crosby. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to be the goal scorer. There's too many around him. So he just deals off the puck and lets other guys go to work. 615-737-1025 is the phone number here on the program. Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the Olympics. I want to ask the question, if the United States doesn't win gold tomorrow, is it a complete failure of an Olympics for the country? Maybe not failure. Maybe disappointment would be the word. Would you be disappointed if the U.S. didn't come away with gold, especially against Canada? We'll discuss that coming up next right here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you on 102.5 The Game. All of the end, come back to you. Sing women, sing for the year. Sing for the laugh and sing for the tear. Sing women just for today. Never tomorrow, the good Lord. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Getting ready for Team USA and Canada in the gold medal match tomorrow. This was the video that came out last year after they beat Canada the first time, and Jack Hughes is just singing his heart out to this. So, well done by you. This song gets me ready to run through a wall.
One of the many anthems of USA hockey.
I mean, there's like five or six at this point.
It's this and Freebird of the Maine, too, yeah. For sure.
Well, I've set Burning Heart as one of them. That's just me personally, because I think
that's a great call by you, especially for anytime we play Canada now, I'm going to think of that song for sure. It's a great call.
I mean, it's a song about, you know, obviously it's for Rocky IV, so it's about USA versus USSR, East versus West. But to me, it's North versus South now, rival nations. But put some tariffs on these goals. Today, Vanderbilt baseball hosts, I've never heard of this school, so let's see if I can do it correctly, Marist.
That's correct.
At Hawkins Field at 2 p.m. Catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan and the Game Nashville app. Coverage is presented by Gary Force Acura. Marist. Where is Marist? Is that a D3 school?
It's like Maine, I think.
Yeah, it's north for sure.
Yeah, definitely northeast.
They could be like my team and playing random road games against Evansville, which is hilarious. But let's get back into the conversation on the gold medal game. Let's say the United States goes in tomorrow and doesn't win gold. Would you be disappointed with that result? I think that's an easy question. Of course, everyone would be disappointed. But would you consider this entire Olympics for Team USA a disappointment?
Sort of. I mean, I know you want a yes or no answer. I'm just going to go sort of. And I try not to bring the NHL's factor into any of this. But Stanley Cup is still a United States of America trophy.
It always will be.
It's not a trophy that goes up north. Again, would love to see that gold medal come to the United States. Hopefully it will tomorrow. But it's a tough call, man. I think if you name it a disappointment, I'd say no. It's just an unfortunate event.
I would call it a disappointment.
Really?
Because this whole year, since the Four Nations face-off, we've been waiting for this rematch. This whole tournament was dedicated for the United States of, quote, shedding Canadian tears. If you go out there and you crap the bed against Canada in the biggest stage, I would consider it a disappointment.
Oh, yeah, crap in the bed for sure. Like, if you lose 4-5-0, for sure. Now, I mean, if they lose in a tight game, like a 3-2 game or a 4-3 game,
I'd be disappointed.
I'd be all right. I'd be okay with
it. No moral victories for me.
It's not a moral victory. Again, it sounds like I'm agreeing with the losing mentality. No. Go out there and try to get a win as best as possible, right? No. It's just unfortunate that if you have Canada, it's pretty good. Oh, well. Like, that's that.
I would be very disappointed. I wouldn't call it a failure, but it would be a massive disappointment to lose to the team that you've set your sights on this entire time. It would be like, what's a good comparison? We'll use Jordan, for example. Jordan in the early 90s, his whole mission in that 91 season beat the Detroit Pistons. If he didn't go out and do that in the Eastern Conference Finals, it would have been a failure of a season for him. I'm not saying it would be a failure of an Olympics for the United States if they go out and lose to Canada, because like you said, Canada's a good team. Canada's probably the best team in this entire tournament. But if they go out and they lose to Canada, who they've had their minds on this entire time, I think it would be very disappointing.
I don't know. Look, if Florida somehow gets back in the Stanley Cup and they end up taking on that,
they got to make the playoffs first.
I know. I'm just saying in general, if that were to be the case, there's your, I guess, one up on a Canadian team again. Like, yeah. I bring up the Stanley Cup because it's an American trophy at this point. It hasn't been to the States, and I mean, been to Canada in what, 28 years, something like that?
Yeah.
Close to 30 years.
Mid-90s, yeah.
Yeah. So, again, that's kind of how I look at it. I try not to avoid the conversation, but at the same time, you know, silver's, it's not as good as gold, but you're making the podium.
Could be like the Canadian women's team. Did you see their reaction? They gave them, like, these stuffed animals.
Yeah, a little stuffed animal.
And they're like, what in the hell am I going to do with this?
Well, I know in Sochi, didn't they give away something similar to that as well?
I think it's an Olympic tradition.
Yeah.
But
shout out to the ladies, by the way.
I mean,
How about that? That was a fantastic game. What a move on that overtime goal,
Megan
too.
Megan Keller.
Unbelievable.
I mean, she deked around the defender and then wrapped it around and slammed it home.
But Hillary Knight's deflection up front, I mean, come on now. The captain now being the most, prolific goal scorer in Olympic history for the women's.
My favorite part about that whole game was obviously they won. But they showed a a scene of the coach for the United States crying his eyes out. And I was like, how can you not be romantic about the United States of America? If I won a gold medal in the Olympics, I would be the same way. I'd be bald. Hell, I was thinking about this at the Super Bowl the other day. If I got the opportunity to sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl on probably America's biggest stage of the year, I wouldn't make it through. I'd cry. I mean, that whole scene with Charlie Puth where they flashed up while he was finishing the note and you see the flyover, I would have started bawling because I'd love this country so damn much.
I'm with you on that.
And I just want to see him win. I think it would be a mild disappointment if they don't get it done, but I'm rooting for him. I think we all are. If you're not, you're a traitor. Like that guy in my class that's from Minnesota, but he roots for Canada. I'm like, are you not an American citizen?
That makes no sense.
Makes me so mad. Like, it's not like the Canada's best player plays for the Wild or something. Like maybe, but even still, it'd be so dumb.
The Wild's best player plays for
Team USA. Team USA. Exactly.
His name's Quinn Hughes.
I assume that guy's a Wild fan in your class, right?
No, he's a Toronto Maple Leaf fan.
Well, even so, his captain plays for Team USA.
Got Matt Boldy as well.
Yeah, Matt Boldy.
Let's not forget about Matt Boldy either.
That's the main thing I was thinking.
I've never understood this. Maybe you can help me with this. In World Cup soccer, why do people from the United States cheer against the United States? Like, do you cheer for Team Italy?
I do, yeah.
Over the United States?
Mm.
See, I think you can cheer for both there.
Yeah.
Because, like, what are the odds USA and Italy are going to play against each other?
Well, right. Again, I guess you're right.
To give a little context to my situation, born and raised in an Italian-American household, my mom and all that, like, that was the first thing I fell in love with was Italian soccer. So back when the U.S. was meh in the early 90s, early 2000s, mid-90s, early 2000s, it wasn't as great because Landon Donovan, Jozy Altidore, Michael Bradley, they were okay.
Jozy Altidore.
They made the tournament. But Italy way back in the day, 2006, July 9th in Berlin, Germany, one of the greatest days of my life because, one, I got to see the smiles of my grandparents' faces and my brother, and we all got to cheer and have fun, whatever. But to your point about cheering for another country minus the U.S., I think the U.S. now, when it comes to soccer, is getting there.
Yeah, so, it's more established now.
Right. So I do cheer for both. But as of right now, I still lean a little bit towards the
I mean, that's Italian. Fair. Your circumstance is different from others. Yeah. But
it's kind of like the Ole Miss situation.
Yeah. I mean, there are people in this country that are like, hey, I'm cheering for Argentina because they've got Messi. Yeah. And I'm like, you're from southern Florida.
I'm definitely not doing that. But as for any other American sport or any other American team, I'm cheering for them.
No, Frazier, you're completely just. If it's for one specific player, like Connor was saying, like if it's only for Messi, it's stupid, in my opinion. Like, I just don't understand that at all.
Yeah, like the Olympics, prime example. Like, I had a distant cousin that played for Team Italy. And so I'm going to have a little bit of bias. So I'm going to say, hey, you're going to cheer for him.
For obvious reasons,
Also a national champion at Providence College.
Just how about that?
There we go. So, Hal Gill is smiling somewhere here in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just stay away from the Canadians when they curl. Did you see that whole thing
with Sweden? The extra touch over the finger?
The Sweden guy was so... I watched it last night just because it was so funny.
The verbal exchange, yeah. Holy cow.
I mean, it was censored, but I could just hear the Canadian come out. It was funny.
I believe the women's U.S. team, they're playing the bronze medal.
Yeah, they are. Well, that curling thing, that is one of the non-hockey reasons that gives me confidence for tomorrow. I think that could be good karma for the U.S. because Canada was cheating, and we know what tomorrow's the anniversary of, right? The miracle on ice. Miracle. So could it be destiny?
We'll have to see. Mike Tirico said that yesterday, and I was like, oh, my God, it's going to happen.
Either it's destiny or broadcaster's jinx.
Yeah, one of the two. It's like calling a no-hitter, and then the next pitch is a ground ball up in between the gap. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you want to get involved in the conversation, coming up next, it's my time to shine. Newt's Notes right here on the program. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in
Connor Newt.
I believe in
Newt's Notes.
The first one I ever made. Tokyo, we're coming up on
it,
like,
really?
Yeah, I mean, we're coming up on like over a year and a half of me using it. Because I couldn't get my own imaging. Chase wouldn't make it for me or show me how to make it. So I was like, I'll take the easy way. And I'll just, you know, record myself. The Shield is my favorite one. When I get my solo show, that'll be probably my theme song. But welcome back in Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. let me quickly tell you that NASCAR action is on the Game National Sports Network all season. Starting at 1 p.m. tomorrow, catch live coverage of the Auto Trader 400 on Sports Talk 830 and the Game Nashville app. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you. And we've got to talk about a certain coach in college basketball this week. Mick Cronin, head coach of the University of California, Los Angeles Bruins, UCLA. This guy is on another level. I'm sure everyone here listening has seen the interaction he had with a reporter. But if you haven't, we'll replay it for you. So the context is basically this. I believe it was a Michigan State reporter. Well, first, let me go back further. One of Mick Cronin's players for UCLA got a flagrant one foul. He was not ejected from the game. But Mick Cronin decided, let me make this all about me, and tossed him out of the game himself. So after the game, the UCLA got beat by 30. So a Michigan State reporter asks Mick Cronin, hey, what did you think of the environment here? Our student section obviously crippled your team. You lost by 30. Here's that interaction.
What was your thought from the student section chanting Booker's name?
I could give a rat's ass about the other team's student section.
I just meant the overall, the way that you...
I would like to give you a... kudos for the worst question I've ever been asked.
Did you like the preparation of the...
Do you really think I care about the other
team? No, I don't think you care about the other
team. Are you raising your voice at me?
No, I'm just...
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Come on, dude.
No reason.
Come on. Yes, you were. Everybody's standing here listening to you. Everybody. This is on camera. They can hear you. I answered the question. I could give a rat's ass about the other team's student section. I coach UCLA. I don't care about Michigan State students. I mean... Who cares?
Just to answer the question. He didn't raise his voice. Did you raise your voice at me? No, he was matching your tone. This guy, professional a-hole. So, yesterday, he was asked to address the situation in front of UCLA media. He issued a quote-unquote apology, and it is the most half-ass apology you've ever heard. Here's what that sounded like.
You know, I'm trying to protect, like, I take it really serious. Like, our guys don't get texts. Our guys, we're not taking guys out in the air. You know, the brand is important to me. So, but, you know, I was wrong. I apologize to him. That being said, the brand's important to me. So, I need to dial back some of my humor, Ben, so I apologize. You know, sometimes I'm too candid, like, for example, talking about how bad our flight was after the NCAA tournament. I'm lucky to coach here, and like my advice, I've said this to guys like, you know, you get older, lose all your hair, and I have to have facial hair now because I don't want to look like Mr. Clean. But you have to realize, like, and I have to do a better job of this, that in this climate, you've got to be careful with what you say, because I'm not here. I'm a good fit here because I know I'm not bigger than the brand. And the brand matters here. The school matters. The last thing I want to do is bring negative publicity to our school. And sometimes, because I don't, it's not about me, I don't care what people think about me, I need to do a better job knowing, well, I am the coach here, and I need to make sure I don't do anything to embarrass our school. So for that, I apologize, because that I don't want. I apologize to our people. School, students, you know, everybody in our community. Because it's important. You get these jobs, you got to raise money, you got to be friends with donors. I mean, I believe in all that stuff. So as I tell you, like, you know, I'm trying to protect our brand. I don't want our guys taking some guy out while he's in the air down 25. That's Bush League. Not what happened. But the same goes for me. I got to make sure that I represent us in the right way. So that being said, we got a problem. Illinois is really good.
Sense any irony in that apology? I never want to be the forefront of negativity for this program. I know I'm not bigger than the program. Then what was this week all about, huh? You just made it all about yourself. And then he goes and basically denies that he did anything while still apologizing. I didn't take him out because I was mad at him. I took him out because of the circumstances. No, you didn't. We watched you. To use a quote, there's cameras on, dude. We saw you. I just don't understand this guy.
To have the stones to try to walk back what you did is just beyond me. You can't do that. Like you just said, you're on camera. What does this guy think this is, 1940s, where everybody has a pen and paper? This is ridiculous.
Did you notice who he didn't apologize to?
That reporter?
That reporter.
Yeah.
He didn't even address that situation. And I'm sure it's a Michigan State reporter, and that's why he did it, because he knows what are they going to do. But if I'm the Michigan State reporter, to use a quote I heard from another station, what do I have to lose? I'd go after him. What's he going to do? Report you? If Mick Cronin reports you, that's probably a vote of confidence, because that means you got under this guy's skin pretty easily. And obviously, this guy's a moron. To use a Tony Atlas quote, I don't know if I can actually say that word.
No, yeah, you can't.
He's an a-hole.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
yeah. There you go. Good save. No, yeah, seriously, what are they going to do? They can't. He's going to, oh no, I'm going to lose my access to UCLA basketball. Whatever will I do as a Michigan State reporter without my access to UCLA?
I think this guy just hates his job. I think he's there for the paycheck. I think he hates living out west. I think he hates his life in general. To which I say, if you hate your job that much, just retire. If you don't want to play in the Big Ten, retire. Someone else will jump on the opportunity to coach UCLA, because that's a historic basketball brand. And you're tarnishing it. You're tarnishing it by being a jerk. You're tarnishing it by going out and losing to Michigan State by 30 and then making yourself the victim about it.
Look, if I were him, just get out of the state of California. If you want to pay all those taxes, go ahead, because you're just ruining your life. Not tax purposes, but I'm just saying in general. You're making a bad name for yourself out west. If you want another coaching job, I'd consider looking somewhere else right now, because nobody's going to take you. You just got to find it now.
You obviously couldn't see it, but do you know what he was wearing in that apology?
I feel like a nice suit and tie.
Nope.
Really?
Hoodie and sweatpants.
Oh, that's a bad look.
That was the old either post or pre-practice presser is what that was, 100%.
I think he was told by the university, either go out there or there's going to be repercussions. And that's why it was so half-assed, and it just didn't sound authentic at all. And then he starts getting into, well, I can't grow hair on my head, so I have to grow a beard so I don't look like Mr. Clean. I was like, what are you talking about? This guy, I thought Dan Hurley was a loose cannon for UConn. At least Dan Hurley gets results. This guy doesn't get results and is an idiot.
I don't mind Dan Hurley at all. I know a lot of people hate him, but like comparing it to this, you're right, Connor. This guy, would I rather have Mr. Clean or Dan Hurley? I'll take Dan Hurley over Mr. Clean.
And when Hurley does it, a lot of times it's at least justified. Like you can at least see his point of view of it. This is just stupid.
Dan Hurley is funny because he'll just slip in swear words randomly just for the sake of saying it. Like I obviously can't repeat any of what he says on the air, but it is hilarious. I'm not a big Dan Hurley guy either, but this guy blows him out of the water. I don't know what he's trying to do. Is he trying to make UCLA media relevant, even though they're terrible and probably not going to make the tournament? I don't know. But it seems like it's something new every week with this guy. Like, he's just going off on someone. We've seen him before go in his press conference and do the help me out here, Christian, Lady Vols coach.
Kim Caldwell.
Oh. Kim Caldwell.
I almost said Kelly Harper. Good job.
Do the Kim Caldwell and say, my players don't care. They don't want to win. We've seen him do that before. This was next level, going after reporters and then giving a half-assed speech about how he doesn't want to be the forefront of the brand, be the source of negativity, and yet, you know, he is. So there's no stopping this guy. He's a moron. And I don't respect him. He probably wouldn't respect me hearing this, probably raising my voice at him, even though that reporter did not raise his voice whatsoever. He just matched tone. Mick Cronin attacked that guy, and he hasn't addressed it, and I don't think he will address it, and that's really unfortunate.
We should accuse each other of raising our voice at each other the rest of the show.
Oh, just, I'm going to do that just, for the rest
just
of my
for
life.
Fun. Did you just raise your voice at me?
No. Dude, there's cameras around here.
I think the this is all on camera is my favorite part of the whole thing. As if that's not an obvious statement. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
It's probably implied in anything.
Yeah.
I mean, he said at one point, he was like, I'd like to give you kudos for the worst question I've ever been asked. And if you listen in the background, you hear the porter go, oh, yeah, I'll take it. And then Mick Cronin goes, oh, you should. And then that's when the whole thing...
Rage bait successful.
I mean, he absolutely rage baited him, and it was hilarious. 615-737-102. What are you doing?
Check. Oh, like, off the checklist.
I thought you were drawing a star.
No, I'm not drawing a star. Don't want to do that.
605-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to rant about Mick Cronin with me, I think I've released all my Mick Cronin demons. I feel better now. But this guy is a loose cannon, and he should not be involved in college basketball. Coming up next, though, to start hour number two, we'll get into the weekend poll question. You still got about 15 minutes to vote, and I am very shocked by the results of this poll. Which Olympic sport is better, hockey or basketball? We'll get to the results coming up next to start off hour number two of the Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game.